Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God.
How's everyone doing this morning? Amen, amen. This is the last Sunday of the year. Amen. And I just want to begin by giving God a thanksgiving about the unity and growth we've had here at Lighthouse this year. I remember in January, we started off the year by, I'm going to go through these quickly, just a few things that we did this year as a church. In January, we started the year with Pastor Dave and Pastor Joel answering questions on Instagram. Do you guys remember that? I mean, that was powerful. In January 12th, we also had Man Up. In February, we had the Super Bowl watch party, Two Souls Were Saved. In February, we also had the financial education workshop by our brother Anil and his wife. In March, we also had David's Harp. In March, we had a potluck lunch. In May, we had a bake sale and a yard sale. In June, we held our annual Cummington Square service. In July, we had Kids Vacation Bible Camp. In August, it was a busy month. We had worship in the wild. Do you guys remember that? Yeah. Amen. That's just an appetizer of what's going to come next year. Amen. Canadian, and also we had the Canadian Christian Writers with Pastor Mike Welch. That same day, we had a car show outside here in the parking lot. We also had the Church of God's Men's Conference here at Lighthouse. In September, we had the End Times Conference with Joshua Revolution. We also had the Guyana School Supplies Mission. In October, we had another Man Up event. October 20th, we had Brother Swagger, Donnie Swagger, come from Baton Rouge, Louisiana to preach. In November, we had membership seminars. We had baptisms. This month in December, we've had the Christian Heritage Month flag raising. We had our Christmas banquet. Last week, we had our Christian breakfast, which was amazing. Over 85 people came. Thank you to all the brothers and sisters who helped with that. Four souls were saved. Pastor Alfred preached. Amen. Let's give God a praise. Pastor Alfred shared the word. There was a response. Our brother Gideon sang a song, and it was amazing. We had over 20 people on the school bus that came. Our sister Sam and some volunteers went out to encampments and shelters, and they brought them in. And the lady who was doing the catering for the business, yes, Michaela, she came, brought all the food, brought everything, and then she says to me, "You didn't tell me this was to help out people who are less fortunate." And she says, "Could you please cut the check in half? I just want to take half of the money. You take the other half." And I said, "Well, that only covers..." Amen. Let's give God a praise. And I said, "But that barely covers the food." And she said, "Just take it." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Pastor Dave, we got to cut the check in half." He's like, "Well, if she's blessing us, let's bless her too." So we gave her more than what she asked. Amen. This past year as well, Pastor Dave had the vision of having the harvest prayer all over our region. In May, we had the first one in Fort Erie. The second one we had in June was in Port Colborne. In August, we had it in Lincoln. In September, we had it in St. Catharines. In October, we had it here at Lighthouse. And in November, the last one, 7 out of 7, we had it in Welland. So it's been a powerful, powerful year. And honestly, God is just, the Holy Spirit is just beginning. This year, we also did the morning prayer here every single morning from Monday to Friday at 6 a.m. And that has caused a growth here in our church, an increase in our church. Amen? Hallelujah. So this morning, I just wanted to touch on 4 points about having communion with the Holy Spirit, or walking with the Holy Spirit. As well, before I start, actually, I want to welcome my friend, one of my best friends growing up. His name is Edwin. He is from New York City. He's here visiting us, and just want to welcome him. Thank you for coming. As well, those who are visiting us for the first time, if this is your first time visiting, please meet us in the back table. We want to show you, we want to give you a gift of appreciation for visiting us. Amen? So every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian walks in the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 2. The book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 2. And it says, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple." If we skip a few verses, 7 and 8, it reads, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." What I want you to see is that this man in the Bible says that he was born lame from his mother's womb. And daily he was brought to the temple, to the gate, but he was laying there. He wasn't walking, he wasn't jumping, he wasn't clapping, he was laying there. He wasn't praising God, he was just begging for alms. The Bible says that Peter and John walked to the temple, they saw this man asking for money, and instead of giving him money, they said, "Hey man, look at us." And the guy looked at them, and strength came straight to his legs. He leaped, and he started to walk with the legs he had. When you were born, did you have legs when you were born? Technically, you don't remember that. But probably, there are some photos to prove that your legs weren't shipped 3 days later. So we got legs when we're born. But how many of us walked the first day we were born? Nobody. See, we did a lot of things, but walking wasn't one of them. So legs come with birth, and walking comes with practice and with time. So I believe today, what I want to share with you is this. When you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But walking, being friends with the Holy Spirit, doesn't come right away. When you have the Holy Spirit, it takes time. It takes practice. And sometimes it takes somebody to come along and give you a little instruction, a little teaching, so that you will not live your Christian life crawling, but you will live your Christian life walking with the Holy Spirit. Touch your neighbor and say, "Hey, this morning we're going to learn to walk in the Holy Ghost." Touch your neighbor who wasn't your first choice and say, "This morning we're going to learn to walk in the Holy Ghost." If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian walks in the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian has the intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Write this down. At the moment of my salvation, I receive the Holy Spirit, but how to walk in the Holy Spirit requires surrender. It requires surrender. And my desire today is that you don't live your Christian life like the lame man. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, I was speaking in tongues, praise God. But I'll be honest with you, I did not know who the Holy Spirit was until about 5 years ago. See, now I heard many sermons about the Holy Spirit. I even preached about the Holy Spirit. But I knew about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know him intimately. See, and I didn't know him closely. I would describe my Christian life when I was younger like the life of this lame man. He was brought to the temple, but he didn't walk to the temple. He didn't get inside the temple. He stayed at the gate. He didn't pray to ask. He didn't ask to walk. He asked for money. I used to pray that I wanted God to use me to perform miracles and that the fire of God would come down. See, what I should have been praying, God, I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. Instead of, hey, I want to have the power, now it's, I want to know the Holy Spirit. And there was a change when that happened, where the Holy Spirit became real. See, when I met the Holy Spirit, it changed my life. And today, I believe that some of you sitting here will meet the Holy Spirit for the first time. Jesus will reveal the Holy Spirit. It'll overwhelm you. It'll change your ministry. It'll change your career. It'll change your life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit created the universe. Can you imagine what he can do in your family? He created your body. Can you imagine what he can do at your work, at your school? The Holy Spirit rested on Jesus. Can you imagine what can happen if he rests on you? My spiritual life went from crawling to walking. Some pastors and some leaders know about the Holy Spirit and have more degrees than a thermometer, but they are crawling in their ministry. The weight of their ministry, the weight of their life is not carried by the Holy Spirit. So when you have legs, legs walk. That's what they do. Legs carry the weight of your body. I can even put on a backpack on and my legs will carry the weight. It'll carry it. My legs help me go from point A to point B. My legs help me go faster. My legs help me to move quicker. But if I have legs and they don't walk, I will have to crawl and use the strength of my arms. Some of us Christians live our life with the strength of a human arm. We have the Holy Spirit, we just don't walk in the Holy Spirit. We can even speak in tongues and not walk in the Spirit. And therefore we live in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. But today something is going to change. God is going to use me as the Peter and John. And I will look at you and say, listen, life in the flesh needs to come to an end. And the life in the Spirit must begin here this morning at Lighthouse Niagara. Amen? You cannot be a leader in life until you are a follower of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a leader in this generation until you are walking with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We either walk in the flesh having the Holy Spirit, or we walk in the Spirit having flesh. The devil gave you a gift when you were born. It's called the flesh. When you were born the second time, God gave you a gift called the Holy Spirit. So the question today is not what you have, it's what you walk in. Every Christian has flesh, and every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Life in power, life in holiness, life of kingdom impact doesn't just rely on the Spirit. It's in the walking in the Spirit. You can have legs, but if you don't walk in them, they won't carry the weight of your body, the weight of your dreams, the weight of your goals, the callings, the gifts. They can all be carried by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You cannot live your life holy because you have the Spirit. You can live a holy life because the Spirit has you. It's the same way you don't move from point A to point B because you have legs. You move from point A to point B because you walk on your legs. Babies don't walk. They have strollers. And many of us Christians are on strollers. That's why we have to be begged and constantly reminded to come to church. And we can't go on our own. That's why some of us constantly need to be motivated to serve God, because we're not walking in the Spirit. That's why some of us are asking God for secondary things. We beg for alms, we beg for power, we beg for blessings. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the first thing we should ask for is what David asked for. That I will see the face of God. David says that I will know God, and my soul pants for the living God. Your prayer should be, God, I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. Money, education, and the rest of the stuff will take care of itself. But if I walk in the Spirit, my life will change. Imagine a world if you couldn't walk. You wouldn't be able to get to the balcony. You wouldn't be able to climb up the stairs. You'd have to settle for a different seating. Some limitations exist when you don't walk. The same thing happens in the spiritual life. There are so many limitations that exist when we have the Spirit, but when we don't walk in the Spirit. And just because you got Him doesn't mean that He has you. So let's go deeper. Somebody say, let's go deeper. Write this down. The Holy Spirit wants a relationship with us more than we want with Him. Number two, I'm going to go through 4 points. The Holy Spirit wants a relationship with us more than we want a relationship with Him. This is incredible. 2 Corinthians, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I want you to notice the three gifts of the Trinity. Jesus gave us grace. God the Father gives us love. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you think that the Holy Spirit would give us tongues. But it says communion. Someone shout communion. Now communion, it doesn't mean the bread and the juice that we take. The communion here is fellowship. The fellowship is like hanging out. It's like a friendship. It's what you do with your best friend when you go for a coffee. It's what you do with your friend when you hang out with them. And some places in the Bible, actually, the word communion in the Bible is used for the physical intimacy between a husband and a wife. So meaning it's closeness you have with somebody. I remember when I was reading this verse when I was younger, and I thought it meant that I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. But that's not what it says. It says He wants to have that friendship, that fellowship with me. This is incredible. The Holy Spirit. I didn't say some famous celebrity. I didn't say some famous athlete. I said the God of the universe has a gift for me. And His gift is His personal phone number. And He says, text me anytime. Call me anytime. Let's be BFFs. Hit me up. And the Holy Spirit has a gift for you. The gift of Jesus is grace. The gift of the Father is love. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is communion. He wants to give you His private phone number. And He says, I'll be available anytime. In fact, I'll be talking to you regularly. You might say, yes, I know that He wants to have communion with my pastor. He wants to have communion with my small group leader. They are holy people. But the Bible says in this verse that He wants to have communion with all of us, not just for the elite. It's for everyone. It's for you who's 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. It's for you who recently just got saved. It's for you who is still struggling. Every Christian deserves to walk in the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Spirit be with you all. He wants to have a fellowship. Some of us think that the only job of the Holy Spirit is to convict us, to convict me. He will convict me if I'm doing something wrong. But the Bible says here, it doesn't say here, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit be with you. It says the fellowship. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit knows your weird side. The Holy Spirit knows your craziest side. The Holy Spirit knows your weak side. The Holy Spirit knows that you are what you are hiding from other people. Nothing comes by surprise. So when he says, I want to have fellowship with you, nothing will catch him by surprise. Instead, in fact, the stuff that you are hiding is the stuff that he wants to heal. The stuff that you are hiding is the stuff that he wants to deliver you from. But he cannot do that if you don't open up the gift called communion of the Holy Spirit. Someone shout communion. Come on, someone shout communion. I want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. To walk in the Holy Spirit, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit. Write this down. Number three, to walk in the Holy Spirit, we have to talk with the Holy Spirit. Now, not only does he want to have communion, but I also have to talk to him. Now, communion is a two-way street. You don't text your friends and say, hey, let's get together and have communion. If you do, you probably spend too much time in a traditional church. Or when you message your friends, you don't say, hey, let's get together, hashtag fellowship. You know what I mean? Now, you usually say, hey, let's hang out. Let's chill. Let's hang. Let's get together. Let's talk. See, now, I have a question. Do you have one of those friends that when you guys get together to hang out and they talk 99.9% of the time, they ask you, so how are things doing? And before you say anything, they already started talking. See, how many of you know that's not hanging out? That's one person having verbal diarrhea, and that's you listening. See, you're like, man, God, like, when is this guy going to finish? Like, can I fake a phone call right now? It's like, listen, my dog died. I got to go. But you don't got a dog, you know? Like, yo, my cat died, but you don't got a cat. So you just say, give me a second, and you disappear, and you don't come back until Jesus comes back. We have those friends who just talk and talk and talk, but that's not communion. Communion is when you talk and the other person listens. And when the other person talks, the other person listens. Communion is a two-way street. Both people are sharing, both people are receiving. Another thing communion is not, it's not prayer. The Holy Spirit doesn't say here, he wants you to pray to him. Even though we can, because he is God. He says he's our partner and friend in life. He wants us to talk to him. And not just to talk to him when we need help. Because that'd be kind of weird if the only time we talk to our friends is when we need money. He wants you to talk to the Holy Spirit because he wants to be your friend. And friends are for life, not just for needs. Is somebody getting this? Amen. So to walk in the Holy Spirit, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit. He is a real person who wants to have a conversation with you. Picture it sometimes pulling a chair and the Holy Spirit is just sitting there. You say, good morning. You know, on my way to work, I take a moment during my day to acknowledge his presence. And then I ask for his help. When I started to acknowledge his presence and honoring him, his presence started to grow in my life. And I started to hear his voice better throughout my day because I would talk to him throughout the day. I want to challenge you outside of prayer to begin to talk with the Holy Spirit. Many of us here, your view of the Holy Spirit is that he is a power. But you can't talk to power. That's kind of weird. We don't talk to power. We talk to real people. The Holy Spirit is exemplified as fire, wind, a dove, and oil. But the Holy Spirit is none of these things. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a feeling. He's not being slayed under the power of God. He's not tongues. He is not a force. If you view the Holy Spirit as a force, you'll try to use him. If you see him as a person, he will use you. If you view the Holy Spirit as a power, you will try to use him. But if you see the Holy Spirit as a person, you will seek to know him. See, sometimes I use my phone. I don't use my wife. I use my car. I don't use my friends. Why? Because my car doesn't have a soul. My car doesn't have feelings. My car doesn't have a mind, so I can use it. See, you must understand that the Holy Spirit is not someone that you use. The Holy Spirit is someone you know. But to know the Holy Spirit, you have to remove this thing out of your mind that he is a feeling or a power or an experience. I felt the Holy Spirit. Theologically, that's not accurate. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. God is not someone you feel. God is someone you know. Now his power, we feel. His presence, we know. So I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit, but the person of the Holy Spirit, I know. See, if my wife, and she will never do this, but if she punches me, I can feel that power, but my wife is not a punch. I can know the person, but I feel the power. So when you feel the tingling feeling going through your body when you worship, you're like, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost. You felt the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is someone you know. He is a person, not a power. Can someone say amen? Now, let me just give you a little bit more of how he is a person. The Bible says that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as a person. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as he and not it. The Holy Spirit is a person because his work is to carry the ministry of a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a person because he has three elements of a personality. He has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. The Holy Spirit is a person because he performs actions only a person can perform. He speaks, he searches all things, he reveals, he teaches, he cries, he intercedes, he leads, he helps, and he has fellowship. A wind, a dove, a fire, a force can't do that. The Holy Spirit is a person because personal feelings are ascribed to him. He can be grieved. He can be rebelled against. He can be insulted. He can be lied to. He can be blasphemed. And he can be resisted. He can be put to the test. He can be quenched. He can be provoked. And actually, he can be pleased. All of this means one thing. He is not it. He is he. He is a person that you can get to know. As a person, he's not limited to space and time. In fact, he's closer to you than your next breath. He yearns, he longs for relationship. It's like having legs. If you talk to him, you'll walk in him. If you don't walk in him, your Christian life will be reduced to crawling. Your Christian life will be reduced to human strength. Let's just go a little bit further. Number four, walking in the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. It makes me better than me. When I begin to walk in the Holy Spirit, the first thing that begins to happen is he develops the fruit. The fruit meaning he changes my character. And what does that look like? I have become better than me. When I walk in the Holy Spirit, it's not because I'm better than you, not at all. It's because I'm better than me. I become nicer. I become different. I become calmer. The Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It first talks about the works of the flesh. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh means crawling. Fruit means walking. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, pretty much all those things that we don't have in our life. In Galatians 5:22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And all those things, we're like, man, I wish I had more of that in my life. And many of us did this mistake, have made this mistake. We're like, man, I'm going to work on being more loving. How many of you have done that? I'm going to work on being more patient. I'm going to work on being more long-suffering. I'm going to work on these things. The Bible says that the works of the flesh, meaning working on changing your character, you'll slip into the flesh. So as a Christian, I don't work on my character. I work on my intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It produces the fruit called the character. And this is sanctified. That is sanctified. And then the Holy Spirit takes credit for me being better than me. The Holy Ghost, and that's the Holy Ghost because I'm not that nice. I'm not that patient. I'm not that kind. I'm not that long-suffering. I am a different person without the Holy Spirit. I don't work on my character. I work on my intimacy of the Spirit of God, and it produces my character. That's why the Christian character is called the fruit, not the work. I'm going to deliver you, some of you, this morning by just this one statement. Stop working on your character. The harder you work on it, the worse you're going to be. You want to become a better husband? Stop trying to be a better husband. Work on being a better friend of the Holy Spirit, because the Christian character is called the fruit, not of your work, but the fruit of the Spirit. And the work of the flesh is the work is called the flesh. Now, something that is incredible about the fruit is that, actually, Eddie Yotes, pass me that apple. I forgot to bring it up. The apple. Here we go. Thanks. So, the reason why I brought the apple here is just so that I can take a bite. Just kidding. But, what is fruit? Drink. Amen. What is fruit? Fruits grow through abiding. The Bible says the fruit, not fruits of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit produces all nine characteristics at the same time. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I can't produce one at a time at the expense of another. That means if I focus on being patient, I'm not loving. If I want to focus on love or being, if I want to control my impatience, I lose my love. And then if I focus on love, I lose my long suffering. I can't do all of them at the same time because that's just impossible. That is a full-time job without pay. But the Holy Spirit produces all of them at once. And that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, not out of your efforts. If you want to change your character, develop a friendship with Him. Because walking in the Spirit will first change you into the person that is better than you ever were. If you were a failure, you will become a success. If you were constantly late, you will become punctual. If you are lacking control, you will have self-control. If you are impatient, you will become patient because the Spirit will produce the fruit. Somebody shout fruit. But you know that fruits grow slowly. Fruits grow slowly. But the last thing I want to mention about the fruit is what does fruit do? See, I have an Apple phone. I have Apple fruit. See, one I use and one I eat. Please understand this. The gifts of the Spirit are tools for service. The fruit of the Spirit is food for your family. What does that mean? You can be used by the Spirit to touch the world. But if you don't walk in the Spirit and you don't develop a character, you will starve your family at home. Your closest friends will want to be around you because your character stinks. My wife cannot be blessed by my anointing on stage. She is blessed by my anointing in my heart or my good attitude. My wife doesn't care how fast I speak in tongues if I'm harsh to her. My fruit is what feeds my wife. This is key. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, it feeds your friends. They will have a good experience around you. Your closest members, closest family members, they might not like your faith, but they like your fruit. They might not agree with your Jesus, but they like your taste. You're so loving that your boss may not like that you're going to church every Sunday, but they can't deny that you are feeding them every time with your fruit. Your small group is fed by your fruit, not just by your gifts. And some people nowadays develop their gifts faster than they allow the Spirit to produce and develop their fruit. So people around them are starving to death while they impact nations and they don't feed their family. Amen. I was going to take a bite, but see, the fruit of the Spirit makes me better than me. It doesn't make me better than you. If we can turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. When you're there, shout amen. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit doesn't remove the lust of the flesh. He empowers me not to fulfill it. What does that mean? That means if I walk in holiness, there's one secret. Walk in the Spirit. The Bible doesn't say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh so that you can be close to the Spirit. See, that's what I used to think growing up. that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be friends with me because I don't have all my ducks in a row. The Holy Spirit will want to be my friend when I get my life right. Once I get all my fastings done, once I get all my prayers done, once my life is all good, then the Holy Spirit will be like, oh, you graduated from the school of stupidity. But the Holy Spirit says, let's hang out. Let's exchange numbers. But the Bible says that if you want to walk in the Spirit, you have to talk to the Holy Spirit so that you're no longer ignorant. You walk in the Spirit so you no longer do foolish things. You walk in the Spirit so that you can overcome those things. I know that the Holy Spirit is holy, but the only way that you can be holy is if you walk with the Holy Spirit. You don't become holy outside of the Holy Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. Paul says, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want to overcome the cravings. You want to overcome the urges. You want to overcome sinful behaviors. There is one person that can help you with that, and his name is the Holy Spirit. He has a gift for you, and it's called communion. You already have him as a Christian when you were born again. But I want to challenge you to cultivate that friendship with the Holy Spirit. When you're walking in the street, when you're driving, when you're alone in the house, take a few minutes. Just acknowledge his presence and say, Holy Spirit, thank you for being so good to me. Holy Spirit, can you give me some wisdom? Holy Spirit, can you give me some grace? Holy Spirit, would you anoint me? Holy Spirit, will you use me for your glory? Can someone say amen? And the last thing that I want to highlight is this. His anointing will grow as we go get the lost. Let me repeat that. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will grow as we go and get the lost. We walk in him. He develops the fruit. He makes us better than we are. But the last thing that the Bible says that we should not quench the Spirit. It talks about his anointing. We shouldn't grieve the Spirit. It's talking about his prompting so we can develop the fruit. When it talks about not quenching the Spirit, it talks about the flow, the power through us. The Holy Spirit wants to flow through you, and his power flows through you when you go get the lost. In Ezekiel, there's a very amazing scripture. If we can all turn to Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 2. Ezekiel 47, verse 2. It talks about the healing waters and trees. And verse 2 says, he brought me out of by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. See, the book of Ezekiel talks about the temple, water, fish coming alive. What is all that? Let me just give you a 30-second summary of that. The temple, that's you. I'm the temple. Can someone say, I'm the temple? I'm not a tomb of dead bones. Amen. I'm the temple of the living Holy Spirit. I am the house of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the address of the Holy Spirit? You. When somebody says, where does the Holy Spirit live? You point at yourself and you say, right here, because the address of the Holy Spirit is right here. The Bible says, out of the temple flows the river. And Jesus keeps talking about the Spirit in John chapter 8 and John chapter 4, that the river, so out of the temple, the rivers will flow. Somebody say river. So rivers will flow But I want you to notice something very interesting. The river flows to the east. And if you look at the geography of the Bible, it points that the river from the temple is flowing down to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point on the planet. The river flows from the temple to the Dead Sea. Look at this. The river is not flowing from the Dead Sea to the temple. This means that the Holy Spirit is not going to bring you to church as a Christian. That's not just his goal. It's to take you from the church into the world, into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. The Dead Sea is the lowest point in our city. It's the people who don't know Jesus, who are dying in their sins. And the river wants to flow to the Dead Sea. And the amazing part is the closer that you get to the Dead Sea, the bigger the river, the deeper the river. If you want more of God's power, go get the lost. If you want more of God's river, go to God's plan and vision, and that is the Dead Sea, the lost people. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God's river grows fuller as I go further into the Dead Sea. The Bible says that the lame man started to walk and he got into the temple. He danced, he leaped, and thousands of people got saved. The ultimate goal of walking in the Spirit is not so that you can dance or shout and have Christian friends. If you stay in the church, the river will go up to your ankles. But if you go get the lost, it'll go to your knees. If you go further to the Dead Sea, it'll get to your waist. And some people say, how do I get more of God's power? Very simple. Do what matters to Jesus. Save the lost. Win disciples. Make disciples and win the lost as you get closer to the Dead Sea and the anointing rises. Amen? Amen. Could I please have the worship team come quickly? So miracles will get greater in your life, and the gifts will flow powerfully in your life. Instead of chasing miracles, chase God's mission. Instead of chasing God's power, chase God's purpose, because God's power flows to God's purpose. Can somebody say amen? I want you to rise to your feet. Hallelujah. And put your hand in your heart and say, Jesus, reveal to me the Holy Spirit. I want you to close your eyes. I want every head bowed. And say, Jesus, reveal to me the Holy Spirit. Say, the Holy Spirit, I want to know you. I want to be your friend. I don't want to live my life crawling. I want to live my life walking. I want to know you. I want to be your friend.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.